Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, my friends, welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 295 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by Michelle Niemeyer, and she is going to help us with productivity and time management and looking at this concept that she calls bending time so that we can fill up our own energy reserves and get more done than we thought possible while avoiding burnout. Michelle Niemeyer is a speaker, consultant, and coach who teaches professionals how to stay sharp, productive, and profitable without burning out. After finding her way to burnout and back in her own high-performing legal career, Michelle created The Art of Bending Time, a framework that helps people connect the dots across work, life, and purpose to magnetize success and reclaim their joy. She helps businesses retain top talent, boost development, and keep their people energized and engaged, all while making the magic happen. So we talk about this both in a professional capacity and we bring it back into our family units and how even if you don't work outside of the home, you can use this concept to help you in your daily life as well. And if you want to get the show notes for today's episode, you can do so by going to wannabeclutterfree.com/295. Again, wannabeclutterfree.com/295. All right, let's get to our conversation with Michelle. Well, hey, Michelle, welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I am very excited about this conversation. But before we hop in, can you just start by telling listeners who you are and what you do?
Yeah. Okay. So I help people in businesses to become more productive, to become more connected with their teams, have a more sort of joyful, enjoyable existence in their careers as opposed to getting burned out. It means is that there are things you can do to change how you're living your life that can make you more productive so that you can get more done in less time and can give you the better connectivity that makes you feel better about what you're doing at the same time. So the burnout goes away. You feel better about what you're doing and you're doing it better and faster.
Well, that sounds like the dream. I like that. Okay. So you talk about this concept, you call it bending time.
Yes.
What does that actually mean in real life?
Okay. So how do I explain this? I had a different podcast host said it in a way that I had never thought of, and it was probably the best description I've ever seen.
Okay.
He called it a quantum physics theory of time management.
Okay. What does that mean?
Well, it means that instead of looking at time as a line, most of us think of time in a linear fashion. We've been taught that we have a clock and it has a certain number of hours. And, you know, the clock has a certain number of hours and minutes. You've got a certain number of days in the week, et cetera, et cetera. What we tend to do is we use that linear measure. And so we see, I've got a deadline or I've got this or that. And we don't see, how can I make my impact bigger, better, broader? So I like to say that the art of bending time is like if you put a balloon around that, instead of having a stick, you have a balloon around the stick that you can blow up. And you can expand how much you can fit into that space. It's not just a line. It's a three-dimensional, broader space that you can expand. And there are different things you can do to expand it. So, for example, all of us have experienced that afternoon drag when we've had a heavy meal and we just don't get stuff done, right? Everybody's got that time of day where they just have a lull and they're not as effective, or they find themselves reading the same thing seven times that they should have looked at once.
Right.
And so the productivity isn't there when you're doing that. So part of what I do is I help people identify the things that aren't working for them. Often it has to do with clarity about what you need to be doing. Sometimes you're just wasting your time because you're doing things that don't matter to you and they don't matter to your ultimate goals. Are you spinning your wheels, for instance, doing busy work because you're feeling stressed about the big thing that you have to do that's hard, that you're not quite sure about and you're uncomfortable? So you spend weeks organizing something or writing out a plan or, you know, this is my biggest failure, by the way, personally, is I can spend weeks planning something if what I'm really doing is trying to avoid the hard work of doing it. Mm. And how many people do that? Lots of people do that. You know,
I raised my hand over here.
Right. So, you know, the 80-20 rule and, you know, that general business school 80-20 rule, it's very true. We spend 80% of our time doing things that don't move the ball forward. Hmm. So think about how much you can get done if you take that 80% of the time, and you don't even have to spend that on your work. You could spend another 20% and you're going to get more done.
Mm-hmm.
Or 50%. Or if you spend all of it, you're going to be a rock star and still have time to do the fun things that allow you to live your life. So
interesting. Yeah.
There are different things that give you that ability to focus. One of the things that I'm very big on is when we lose focus, we lose the, you know, flow state, zone, whatever you want to call it, where you're able to focus on your work in a way that you can really be in it and pay attention to other things, not be interrupted.
Hmm.
So that's one thing is being able to get into and maintain a flow state.
Okay.
And there are things that you need to do to be able to do that. You need to be physically healthy. We don't really think about this, but if you're not exercising, eating right, if you're sick, if you're, you know, just physically uncomfortable, it affects your ability to be in flow and to be focused on your work. So one of the things, you know, a lot of people say, I can't go to the gym, I don't have time. But if that hour at the gym gives them 2 hours of productive time versus 2 hours of diluted time, they have paid for that. They've made up for it. So that's where the bending time comes in.
Okay.
And then there are other things. There are things like, for instance, utilizing the connections you have. Most of us don't really know. One of the things I do in the higher level stuff I do with people is help them to identify who are the people that they know. And I have them switch it up. So a lot of us have this mindset that we don't feel comfortable. I think that the mindset of, or the phrase work-life balance has been destructive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because it's caused people to feel like they somehow can't mix up their work friends or their work colleagues and the people outside of work. Mm. And so that causes you to lose opportunities that you might have, or lose the possibility to have a mentor, or lose the chance to have somebody that you might tap for information about a hobby, for instance, but they work with you and you don't talk about your hobbies at work.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I have people do is, as kind of a homework assignment, if I'm coaching people or if I'm working with a team, is to say, okay, let's think about something you really are into outside of work. Now tell the people in your team about it. And who knows somebody who maybe has done that, who maybe has information. Perhaps you want to learn to become a pastry chef. I don't know, whatever that interest is that you have.
Sure.
You may find that your coworker that you've never had a deep conversation with has an aunt who's a pastry chef and who can point you to a class that you could take or help you out. There's all kinds of connections like that, that when we don't go deeper than that shallow level of talking about the project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when we have that mindset of, I can't interrupt people's lives while we're at work, or vice versa. I don't want to talk about work at home. We create a situation where we're limiting our access to information and potentially clients, potentially customers, potentially new colleagues who might be interested in working with us one day because, you know, somebody in our social world doesn't really know about what we do, but would fit in our organization.
Okay.
So
yeah, that makes sense. I like it. I get that we can live in very siloed lives.
Yeah.
And so this is a way of doing a little bit of crossover. So I have a lot of women that listen to this show. Some are entrepreneurs, some are stay-at-home moms, some work, you know, full-time jobs. And a lot of them do feel burnt out. They feel like they're burning the candle at both ends, right?
Right.
They are just, there's so much going on in their life. They're so busy. They are giving. And they are just kind of at their wit's end and they are feeling burnt out. And
right.
You have a story of burnout from your own life, correct? Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what were the signs that you ignored at that time that you now see so clearly that you just thought, gosh, if someone would have just told me this is what I should be looking for, they can sit here and say like, okay, I'm not losing my mind. I am just burnt out.
Right. Okay. So a couple things. One of them was that I became very disengaged.
Okay.
I had always loved being a lawyer. I was one of the ones that when my group of friends from law school got together and I had lots of friends who complained about their jobs and hated what they were doing, I loved what I was doing. I really enjoyed it. And I was the ultimate workaholic, spent overnight, like literally all nighters at the office, worked until 2-3 in the morning. One time I showed up at the parking garage and my car was locked in.
Oh gosh.
Like I literally had to take a train home and call my ex-husband to come get me at the station at 3 in the morning because I was locked out. And this was before we had Uber really. And it was just a mess. But anyway, so I was that person who would give everything to my clients, to my cases, to, you know, and then it turned into not just that. I got very involved in my community. So it wasn't just that. It was also community involvement.
Right.
I ended up on an elected council in the area. I lived in a part of Miami called Coconut Grove, which technically they call it a village. It doesn't have its own government, but it has a village council.
Okay.
And the village council acts more or less as an advisory committee to the city commission or to the, you know, to the city government. We tell them more or less what the people in the Grove want. And I was elected and on that council for 9 years. Well, that was a lot of work. And we had no staff. We had no budget. We volunteered our time. And so it was enormous responsibility. And then I was talked into running for city commissioner. And did that. And I was naive. I was foolish. I was told by somebody, oh, you can do this in about 4 hours a day. And it 4 hours of fundraising. And then on top of it, I was walking and knocking on doors. I mean, it was crazy. So I hit a point where I was just in every aspect of the things I was doing, I started to just feel like what am I even accomplishing? Why am I doing this? I felt like I wasn't getting anything back. I got very resentful about that, about feeling like I was giving and giving and not getting back. And I withdrew a lot. I withdrew from my friends. I didn't want to talk to people. I just, you know, I withdrew so much. It was insane. Like I became a hermit almost. And, you know, I had a friend at the time who had lost his job and he was spending time using a desk at my office to start looking for a job. And so I was seeing a lot of him and hanging out, and I was very negative about being a lawyer. And he said to me, you know, you really need to be grateful. You've got a law degree. You've got this great, you know, opportunity here. Your business has done well. You like, you know, and I couldn't even see it. I was like, how can I, what is there to be grateful about? This is like the biggest burden. Why did I even go to law school? It was a big mistake. Why did I do that? And if somebody's kid had said to me, which it happened, you know, I'm thinking about being a lawyer, don't do it, you know? So when people start feeling that way, and maybe they really just don't like it. But I think a lot of times when you're, you know, at that point, I was 20 years in. When you're 20 years in and you're feeling that way, it's because you're burning up. You're just done. And it's probably not because you don't like it. It's because you've burned yourself out so bad that you can't see your way out of the hole that you've made for yourself.
That's a really good way to put that. Yeah, you start to resent instead of be grateful for all the things that you have. You start to resent everything and all the decisions that you've been making. So how do you start to help people say like, okay, what's something they can start? We live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Too, if they're starting to feel that way, if they're like listening to this and going, okay, this is a wake-up call for me, I'm starting to feel this way, what's one small way they can start to turn that around?
One of the things that I recommend people do first, always, is a clarity exercise that I do with people where we talk about I do it like a meditation. Okay. With people, and I have them kind of sit back and close their eyes and imagine a time when, for instance, you felt just brimming with enthusiasm about something in your life. And then think about that, put yourself in that time, put yourself in your body in that time. How did you feel? And what were you thinking about? What was going on? Was it, you know, what were you doing in that moment? Did you build something? Did you win an award? Did you succeed at something in school for the first time that you tried really hard at? Did you win a trip for your company and, you know, you were in Europe or something? Whatever it was, what is this exciting, happy, like this thing that really made you excited? Or what was something that made you really proud? Or made you just feel in awe. And we go through that process. And when we get done with that process, part of what you start to realize when you go really deep in this and you look at the details of those moments and think about it like you're there. And what is it about this that makes you feel so good? Because yeah, you won an award. Okay, great. But what was it about that that made you feel amazing? Was it that other people were there to support you? Was it that everybody had been telling you you wouldn't succeed and now you did? Was it that, you know, there was a particular piece of your work that you were really proud of and it was recognized? So, you know, there are different things about it that could be why you feel that way. Or your excitement about planning a trip or being on the trip or whatever that might be. So what people start to realize is that there are things about themselves that light them up. I call it the sparks that light you up. And those are very simple things. It doesn't have to be a safari in Africa. It doesn't have to be, you know, like some kind of a big event. It could be sitting at a cafe, drinking a cup of coffee and feeling relaxed and watching the people walk by. Mm-hmm. It could be smelling a flower. It could be going running and feeling the way your body feels and just having a sense of connectedness with your physical presence. And any of those things, the way, you know, those things that light you up, if your job or your job and your home life, whatever the combination, because it's not just about your job, it's really about the totality of your life. If you're not getting those things because all you do is sit at a desk at work and rush to the pick up your kids at the daycare and stop at the grocery store on the way home and make food and clean dishes and pick up things and go to bed and rinse and repeat, and you haven't done one thing that makes you light up for weeks, that's when you get burned out. So the thing I recommend is that people go through this process so that they can figure out what are those things that really light me up, those simple, easy things, and then make a point of getting them into your day. Make a point of getting as many of them into your day. Sometimes it's just, for me, it's like seeing something beautiful. Like and it doesn't have to be fancy. It could be, you know, somebody on the street that I just see their reaction toward their kid as they're walking along, or their pet, or flowers, or, you know, whatever it might be. When you see something really beautiful, to me, that lights me up. Being very physical lights me up. I need to move my body. If I don't move my body, I am toast. So, you know, I've chosen to live a lifestyle where I live in a downtown and I walk. Like, my lifestyle forces me to walk. I'm not like athletic. I used to be. Now it's like I walk everywhere. That's really my athleticism.
Yeah.
But it forces me to move my body. I go to the grocery store. I carry this stuff. Like, do those things because I know that I need to move my body. I don't want to drive my car to the grocery store.
Yeah, I get that. I'm very physical too. Yeah, I have a Peloton here that I make sure I ride, and we walk in the morning. My husband and I walk together in the mornings, and I agree with that. And it was, I think, the book Burnout actually that was the, like, really that helped me see that, yeah, that movement is the thing that closes that stress cycle for me. And if I don't have the movement, my body, whether my mind, when my mind says, oh yeah, sure, you're fine, you're okay, you don't need to be stressed out, you know, nothing's coming after you, my body still hadn't caught up to my mind. So I have to have that physicality in my life. And so I think it's interesting that you have made sure your environment forces you to do it, which is so smart because you're just, you have to.
Right. Yeah. And you don't want to be in a position where you've literally created a box around yourself that deprives you of the things you need to feel healthy, happy, and connected to your world. And that's different for everyone. It may be that you've been promoted into a place where you don't get the thing in your job that you like.
That can happen for sure. Yeah. So
and if that's the case, often you've been promoted, you can probably find a way to structure if you know what that is. I really enjoyed mentoring people. My entire life, there's a through line of mentoring people.
Yeah.
And I was promoted in a law firm. It wasn't encouraged to spend your time mentoring people. And the work seemed to get more and more isolating.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually I left that law firm and started my own practice. So I was working on my own. And when I got really burned out, I think that was part of the problem. I was very isolated.
Yeah, that's on my love list. That idea or my fill up list is I have to get out and talk to people.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I get so like just overwhelmed and bogged down and I'm like, no, I just got to keep pushing. And then I'm like, ugh. We're so out of groceries. I have to go to the grocery store and I just want to put it off, but I can't because we have to eat. So it's a good thing I can't put it off. But then I go to the store and I interact with the person that's checking me out. And I have, you know, this moment of like connection and chit chat. And I forget that, oh, I'm an extrovert. I have to talk to people. And even if it's just that small little connection with the, you know, the clerk at the grocery store, that fills my bucket sometimes enough to where I'm like, okay, you're okay. You have a moment. It's okay. And so I love that you have these moments, like you have said, like visually I have to have something. Like what other things do you see people put on that list of like what fills them up and makes them feel more like themselves and alive?
Well, I had probably the best example I can give you, and I love this. This was just a beautiful thing, was it came out with somebody that I coached that he was a very physical guy. He used to exercise a lot. And he had a three-year-old kid at home, and his wife was pregnant. And he had an SEO optimization business that was going to have to support the whole family. And before that, she's a personal trainer. She was working, and she was going to stop working when the next kid was born, at least for a while, right? So he was really nervous that he wasn't going to be able to reach his goals.
Yeah.
And we started with the clarity exercise, and what came out of it with him was that their three-year-old, because with his wife being a trainer, they had a family value of exercise in the family so that the children would grow up feeling like exercise was part of normal life. But what that meant was that he was exercising at the level of a three-year-old and he wasn't doing his own workout anymore.
Ah.
They had like a family workout in the mornings. And so he was like not even coming close to what he needed. And he loved surfing and they lived near the beach. And so the solution he came up with that, you know, when we put all we connected all these dots about what lights you up and what do you love and, you know, was he hadn't been surfing in 6 months, even though he'd moved to where he lived because he wanted to surf every day. And so what we decided was, let's, you know, have a conversation about the family workout and you guys figure out a way to deal with it and you surf every morning. And he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me a week later and he said, like, his sales, his volume of sales calls had doubled.
Wow.
Since the week before, purely based on the fact that he came home feeling pumped, ready to go, making the calls. He's in the zone for like 3 hours or whatever, where before he didn't have the energy. Like the energy just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the kind of thing it can do for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is, it could be anything for you. Maybe you're an introvert and you need quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm an introvert. You wouldn't know it. I'm on podcasts, whatever, but I am like a really bad introvert. You know, they called me a shy kid when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
I was the kid who felt more comfortable around the adults. As an adult, you know, I can't stand big parties. You know, I like to have quiet time.
Yeah.
And I also like doing art. So for me, that's one thing that I can do that helps me like really kind of get focused on something. I get to express myself, that kind of thing. But I know that I need at least some time that's sort of me time, right? And for other people, it may be, oh my God, I'm going crazy. And I will tell you, even as an introvert, when I shifted from working in an office to working in a home office, I ended up joining WeWork because I couldn't stand being in the home office all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much of like being by myself.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband's an introvert. And so it's interesting and realizing that what it mostly means for us isn't that we don't like being isolated or surrounded by people all the time. What it has shown me is it's how we refill our buckets. Like it's how we recharge our batteries. So me being isolated all the time, I get, it's too much for me. I need to get energy from other people. And for him, he needs some time to process and refill his energy without being surrounded by people, without feeling like he has to be on. And so it's been really helpful having that discernment between the two of us of like, okay, you need some time. Like, I get it. Like, it's not against me.
Right.
It's not it's just like, you just need some time alone to recharge your battery. And that's totally fine. And it makes sense then when we go out and we do things, then we know what each other needs when we do that. So it's just been really fascinating just watching that in real time between the two of us.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with either approach. It's just how you refocus.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then also I want to come back to and ask you some questions about that idea of figuring out what makes us tick and how we can fill our buckets, right? And make sure that we are showing up as the best version of ourselves. Because a lot of the listeners of the show are women and they feel selfish when they take time for themselves. They feel like I should be giving my energy to my family. I should be like, they're listening to this example going, okay, well, great that he gets to go surf because his wife's taking care of the household. So how do I get that time for myself where I need to be able to do something that I love, but I feel like I can't find the time or that it's just not something I should be doing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is a societal construct that we have that's just not fair.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that I recommend everybody do, whether it's part of a work team or a family, is to really sit down and talk about what each of your focuses are. What are your goals? Have family goals, have personal goals, and share them fully. Like if you know, a lot of people, they don't go home and their partner doesn't really understand everything that they're doing at work or the pressures they're under, and vice versa.
Good point.
So if you're the woman who's a successful professional, or even if you're just working a lot of hours and you're busy and you have to be at your job and you can't be anywhere else, right? When your spouse understands what you're dealing with, not just that you go to work every day, like it's a black box out there, but here's what's going on. And this is the things that are hard. And these are, you know, vice versa. Then you can work together and figure out how to work those things out. No woman should feel like she should be the one who does everything because her husband is doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think, by the way, that that was what was going on with this couple at all.
No, of course not.
You know,
of course not.
But I know what you mean. A lot of women feel this pressure to be the one who does everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk to people who come home from 14-hour days and the kitchen sink is full of dishes.
Yeah.
Crap strewn all over their house. And, you know, you're about clutter. So, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's horrible. That's a horrible situation to be in. And, you know, obviously it's part of the relationship, making sure that that isn't happening. And if you have that need, you need to say so.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
I agree.
I feel bad. I mean, there are a lot of people who feel like they should. I feel like I can't speak too much on this because I'm divorced with no kids. So I'm not somebody who has a family sitting in my house and I have to feed the kids and I have to do all the stuff. But there are people to help. There are people who are part of the family who can step up and act like they're part of the family.
Yeah.
My mom said something over Christmas that broke my heart. And I'll share it because it's exactly about this. My parents are in their early 80s and I drove up to where they live in Indianapolis for Christmas. My mom shared with me, you know, your grandmother always loved Christmas. I don't like Christmas. I've never liked Christmas. And I'm like, okay.
Oh.
And now I had driven up there early so that I could help with all the preparation. They were having friends coming for Christmas Eve. And, you know, then my sister was coming later with her family. And I wanted to make sure she had somebody to do, you know, cooking and whatever they needed to be done. And then she started in on this list. And she said, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And I said, Mom, stop. Give me a second here. I drove up here a day earlier than I would have otherwise because I'm here to help you. So what is it we have to do? And I'm going to do it with you. And from that point off, the stress got down a lot more than it was. She seemed to be happier while I was there, but, you know, she'd been carrying this burden and I'm sure it's been for years.
Yeah.
That in her mind, I have to is what Christmas is about. And that's not right for anybody. I mean, that's just not right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt terrible about that because I've been part of that.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, that's something that I think all of us can take into consideration before we start being the person who says, I have to think about who's on your team.
Yeah.
And what can we do? How can we make this easier?
Yeah. Agreed. Because you are on a team, right? And
yeah.
make it a team environment
exactly.
versus you against not only the world, but your family or your house or whatever, right?
Exactly.
It is how can you bring people into your world and have them help you and even remove some of those things off the plate. Maybe
right.
there are things on that list that nobody even really cared about or
right.
the things we feel like we should be doing or have to do. That we can just say, you know what, does anybody really even care about this? And
exactly.
if not, can we switch it out? Can we make it be something that we all want to be doing or, you know, that fills all of our buckets? So
exactly.
yeah, absolutely.
And that's where the clarity becomes really important.
Yes.
Because when you know, when you understand what everybody cares about on your team, whether it's your family, your work team, whatever that is. When you understand what people care about and what matters, you can cut out the junk because there's so much junk.
Yeah, there is,
and,
right?
You know, in my family, we have this excessive gift presence. I mean, it's like everybody gives a gift to everybody at Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
The gift giving is, I mean, just going to the store and buying all those presents. I'm jealous of those families where they go and like they draw somebody's name and they buy a gift, right?
That's ours. You can suggest
awesome.
It. You should suggest it next
right.
year.
But there are people who are like, it's just considered to be necessary. It's necessary for some reason. It's like nobody really cares.
But has anyone brought it up? That's my question to you, too. Has someone brought it up in your family and then somebody's poo-pooed it?
The only way it was brought up, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you in a forum where it's public how it was brought up. I can tell you when we're off.
All right.
Well, let's just say it's not my story to tell and other people would be embarrassed. So I'm not going to tell it. But, you know, yes, it's important to do that. Yeah. And I'm learning as I get older and as I've gotten through this, right? I did live through that burnout phase where I had to figure this out. And I didn't just succeed. Like, I thought I was dealing with burnout. And then I know you know this. I got an autoimmune disease. And I am very convinced that I caused it. Like, I got an autoimmune disease because I was under chronic stress for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't treating my body well. I wasn't eating particularly well. I was exercising hard in ways that were hard on my body, not necessarily great for my body. You know, I'd run and then I'd hurt myself and I'd stop and then I'd start again when I felt better. And it wasn't helpful exercise in a way. Yeah. So, you know, I had to learn a lot when I found out about the autoimmune thing, about stress reduction, about, you know, all the kinds of inputs that can cause your body to be inflamed and to have an immune response. And in doing that, you know, part of what I've learned and part of what's in this program was informed by that, because I had to learn to go from being a chronically stressed, overworked, workaholic lawyer to somebody who turned around an autoimmune disease. And that was very conscious. But part of it, the family interaction stuff is definitely a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, just one, congratulations for putting in the work and the effort and being able to turn that around.
Yeah.
And giving your body what you needed. So that's awesome. And then for those that are like, yeah, I've suggested gift exchanges too, and no one listens to me. I feel like I suggested it for years. And then it wasn't until my niece suggested it that everyone was finally on board. So it might just need to come from a different person.
Yeah.
Just so you all know.
It is. People have a mindset of, especially when there's like the magic of Christmas with Santa and children and all that.
Yeah.
And then when you get older and everybody's an adult, you know, do we really need to get all these gifts every year? You know, like, we can do something special. It doesn't have to involve buying something for everybody and, you know, then having to go to the store later and return it when it doesn't fit, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's been the transition, right? My niece and nephew were finally adults. And so the only child still in the family is my daughter. So she's the only one that doesn't participate in the, well, actually my dad doesn't like to participate in the gift exchange either because he likes to give everyone a gift. So we have had to modify it for work for our family. And I think that's okay too. Like, we can all be creative. And I think that's one of the things that comes back to this whole idea of how can we find paths that work for us, our lives, our teams, our families, that support everybody, right? And it doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all approach. And I know that's kind of, you know, what we're getting at here when as we're talking, right? It's what lights you up. And we are all individual and unique, and something that other people can handle doesn't necessarily make it something that we should have to be able to burden and handle ourselves as well. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you may also find that there are people who enjoy certain things and others who enjoy different things.
Yes.
And when you're aware of that and everyone participates and you let everyone participate in the way that makes them, you know, I mean, maybe there's certain things nobody wants to do. I mean, that's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, for the most part, like in my house, when I was married, my ex was a chef. He cooked.
Mm.
He loved to cook. I always did the dishes and I did the shopping. Like there was a trade-off, and I liked those parts. Like those parts were great. I didn't mind doing those parts. And, you know, I think when you work those things out, where you figure those things out, you don't have somebody who's doing everything.
Right.
You know, you know, we do have way too many women in this country who think that it's their job to be a housewife and a full-time professional who's in many cases carrying more than half the financial burden too. So when that's the case, you know, you got to figure out how to work it out. Mm-hmm. And if you have teenage kids,
yeah,
they should be able to help.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you for sure. I want to go back to at the very beginning, we started this with the idea of bending time.
Yes.
I want to go back to that question because I think now that we've had this conversation, I think the answer will be a little bit different.
Right.
So can we go back to that whole idea of bending time and what does that actually mean? What do you mean when you say bending time? Because I think so many of us feel like there's only so much time in the day.
Exactly.
How do I do it
and
all?
And when you look at that, let's take it to the next step. There's only so much time in the day, and it's the same for everybody. Then why is it that some people have such incredibly productive, successful, exciting lives full of adventure and fun and success also?
Yeah.
While other people are struggling to just do the basic things that they need to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you take these tools and you use this framework to be able to say, what are the things I can do that make me physically healthier, mentally more focused, and able to be more focused and to be more strategic, clear on what matters to me, who I am and what I want, and who my team is and what we want as a team or a family, right? When we have that clarity, we can, first of all, we can cut out the junk.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, now we're bending time by getting rid of stuff. We're expanding our capacity by getting rid of things that are wasting our time. We're expanding our capacity by having literally more physical and mental strength and endurance. And we're expanding our capacity by connecting the dots between us and the people around us in our teams and in our families and in our friend groups in ways that we can help do more, learn more, shortcut the knowledge. For instance, if you want to learn about something and you find somebody who knows somebody who's done it already, and you talk to that person, that 1 hour conversation could save you a year and thousands of dollars.
So true.
Right? How many times have we plodded through trying to learn about something and we spent tons of time wasting our time? And then we meet that one person who just tells you in 5 minutes what it is you needed to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. So that's bending time.
Yeah.
It's all those things. And it's using all of those things in a way that helps you live that life that you now have clarity on what you want in your life. And it helps you live your life in a way that you're going to be able to get that and work and in connection with other people and in a way that doesn't burn you out.
Yeah, so true. I think that it is so hard in today's day and age because so much is available to us. We see so many possibilities. We have so many options, different paths we can choose. You can change and do things differently. And so it's so hard, I think, sometimes to get clear on what that is for us. But I think you've given us some really good tips on what feels good. When it comes down to the end of the day, what is it that you're really after? I think that's really been super helpful. Yeah.
And sometimes we've been told things that just don't work for us.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I know people who won't hire someone to help them clean their house because they think that they should do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they work full time and they have kids and they have this and they have that.
Right.
And then they're like spending time at 10 o'clock at night cleaning when they could hire somebody. And for some reason, women do this to themselves a whole lot more than men do.
Mm-hmm.
But well, that's something that we need to think about. Are there things that you can pay somebody to do if you don't have time or ask somebody to help you with? And then, you know, focus your time, the productive time, on things that you're best at and that move the ball forward in your goals.
Yeah. And make you feel good, right?
Like,
again, if we only have so much time in the day, stop spending it on things that deplete you and spend it on things that actually help you move the needle in your life forward, whether that's professionally or, you know, maternally or just as a human being, right? And just move the needle forward and let go of that idea that you need to be able to do it all and do it well and look amazing while you do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you really have a grasp on those things that light you up,
Yeah.
And you realize that those things don't cost a ton of money. They don't require you to have the biggest, fanciest house in the most expensive neighborhood. They don't require you to drive a Porsche, although it'd be really nice to be driving a Porsche, right? But you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff that we work really hard for that in the end, the benefit of it isn't really that great. I lived on a boat in Miami for 8 years. And I was on a dock with like a ton of boats on it. I don't remember, maybe 80 boats on the dock or 100.
Wow.
I can tell you 60, 70% of those boats sat there and never left the dock. People worked hard to spend the money to own those boats, you know, because they thought they needed to have a boat like that they never used. So, I mean, that's part of it. Like the stuff, that mindset of having a bunch of things you have to take care of and you have to, you know, you have to maintain it. You have to spend money on it. You have to earn the money to spend the money on it. And then all of a sudden you're burning the candle at both ends to try to maintain this illusion of a lifestyle that isn't even really what you care about. I mean, if somebody has a boat and they don't use it, how much do they care about that?
Right. So true. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's true of every expensive toy there is, right? The fancy cars, the, you know, golf carts, whatever it is. Like
anything, anything you bring into your home, if it's not something that you purposely chose that has a use that you actually enjoy, I mean, why are we doing it?
Right. Yeah. And we're like trained to think that way, I think, in, you know, to some degree. But if you can break yourself of that and focus on what matters, it opens up space, and that space gives you the time to focus on the things that matter.
Oh, I love it. So true. It's so true. This has been wonderful, Michelle. Well, thank you so much for helping us kind of get to the nuggets of how we can let go of some of that stuff and start to bend this time and really fill up our own buckets so that we are bringing our true selves and the person we want to be out into the world and to our teams and our families and everybody at large. Where can people find you? I know they're going to want to follow up and find out more.
I have a website, which is michellenemeyer.com. And, you know, that's one place they can go. The other thing I would recommend is, as long as they're not driving their car right now, text 33777 and text the word clarity to that number.
Okay.
And if they do that, they get connected to a community I have. And the community has a free download of the guided meditation that I told you about for clarity.
Ooh, nice.
And journaling prompts. So anybody who wants to use that can just access it there. And it gives them the opportunity to find their clarity first.
Perfect. Okay, well, we'll make sure that's also in the show notes. So if you're driving right now, don't worry about it. You can just come back.
Yes, please don't text while driving. It's a bad idea.
You can go to the show notes and that resource will be available for you. That's awesome. But before I let you go, I always end every show with three rapid fire questions. And so the first one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
Clutter-free for me does mean having that clarity and spending my time doing the things that I care about. My mindset about clutter has to do as much about things I'm doing as things I'm surrounded by.
Yeah, so true, right? Because it's not just physical. It's mental and emotional clutter as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, for
sure.
Yeah. All right, number two, what is making you happy right now or in this season of life?
Doing this new career. I'm loving it. It's really cool. Like I said, there's been a through line for me of mentorship and really working with people and the ability to help teams connect and people connect in ways that make their lives better is something that I just love to be doing.
I love that. And then the third one, if a listener could walk away from this conversation with just one new permission that they didn't have before, what do you hope that permission would be?
Be clear on who you are and what lights you up and be true to it.
Yeah. It's one thing to know and then another to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to give it up to everybody around you. But, you know, people love you because they love you and they know enough of you that they can accept that. Don't feel like they can't.
What a wonderful way to end this episode. That is so fantastic. Well, Michelle, thank you again. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you too.
Bye.
So what do you think? I think it was really interesting how we were able to take these concepts from a professional level down to our family units as well. And I think so many of these points do cross over because we are a team in our families too. And I think there is a lot of exchange that we can learn from both professional life and domestic life. And know that we as women do not need to take everything on. And it is not selfish when we take a moment to figure out what makes us tick, what's going to make us happy, what's going to build up our energy reserves so that we bring our best selves to our family units as well, both in the home and then also to our workplaces if we do work outside of the home. Or if you're like me and you own a business and you want to bring your best self to the people that you're helping, you can't be burnt out, right? You need to be able to function and fill up your own cup so that you are able to do all of it and do a lot more of it with the limited amount of time and resources we have on a regular basis. So I would love to know what stuck out for you. Were there any aha moments? Please come over and let me know. I will have a post for this on Instagram. And you can chat with me there, or also you can join Michelle's community that she gave us that text information that we can reach out that way as well. That information is available for you in the show notes if you go to wannabeclutterfree.com/295. And I wanted to say a big thank you to Michelle for joining us on the show today and sharing her wisdom and knowledge and some aspects from her real life that she was able to learn from and come and now teach the rest of us as well. And then thank you to you for joining me. I know your life is busy and you've got a lot going on. And so hopefully we were able to give you some information today that you can take and use in your daily life. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. If you have any comments or praise for the show, you can do that as well by leaving a rating and a review on your favorite podcast listener. And then on Spotify, you can come over and join a conversation and leave comments, and I can comment back to you now over there, which is really exciting. So thank you again for joining me. All right, I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.